Okay. Yesterday was the saddest day of my life since my father passed away. And we said goodbye to our dog, Charlie. And it was the right thing to do. Charlie came into our life in the year 2011. And Charlie brought our family back together at a time when the five of us needed to be brought back together. Kathleen and I had separated in 2006. And our divorce went way too long and caused more tension than it needed to. And even then, we were seeing each other all the time because at the time, Quentin is approaching the age of 10. And he then has an undiagnosed health issue. And we were switching with Quentin every couple days. And that was tied to giving up the wolves and moving earlier day and all that stuff. But we were not in a very good place. And part of the reason why we divorced is our differing views of raising our kids. Never, ever, ever for a split second have I questioned how much Kathleen loves the kids. She would say the same with me. But I was just much tougher on the kids. And that was a challenge in our marriage, and it was even more of a challenge when we weren't together. And I had talked to the older boys at the time about, I know I'm going to be harder, but don't go to mom's. And our oldest son, Hunter, did a couple times because I was a pain in the butt. And one of the times when the truth is, I'm just going to be very incredibly transparent here and maybe cry because I certainly cried a lot yesterday. I wanted Kathleen just to send him back because I wasn't hitting him. I wasn't striking him. Yep, my voice was raised and I was harder. But she was totally entitled to her views and we had 50-50 everything. And so all of a sudden, one of the times when Hunt left, all of a sudden I got a phone call from Hunter and he said, we have a dog. And Kathleen and Hunter had went out and had brought Charlie in. And my first default was, great. Great. I'm just trying to do the right things, and now I'm the bad guy because of Charlie. So my first thought was, well, I'm not going to like Charlie. That lasted 0.0 seconds once I met Charlie. And I loved Charlie the entire time, and I miss him so much today. English Springer Spaniel. I looked up description of an English Springer Spaniel: affectionate, cheerful, intelligent, alert, active, and attentive. And Charlie was all of those things. All of those things. And so as quickly as that became Hunter and Kathleen picking out the dog, we lived incredibly close to each other. So very quickly, Charlie started going back and forth. And I don't know how fast I've fallen. I mean, when my kids were born, I mean, the second I saw them, I was in love with them. Probably about the same for Charlie. Now, was Charlie the most disciplined dog? No, he wasn't, because we had the same damn debate. Because I thought we should discipline Charlie more and bring him somewhere. And Kathleen's like, no. And, you know, at Kathleen's place, the way to bring Charlie back in was treat, treat. I'm like, we can't just treat, treat every time. And so then at my house, Hunter and Griff would try, and I'd be saying, we got to try. And then quickly they'd be like, treat, treat. And I'd be like, no, we can't do it. But we would. We would. And he was just so loving and so kind. And yeah, he tore apart stuff like every dog does, like every Springer does. Because he had so much energy. I remember one time I was walk and cue. And again, you have to remember my son has significant developmental delays. Charlie's on a leash. And all of a sudden, Charlie somehow gets out of the leash. And where we live, there's all these marshes. Next thing I know, Charlie is in this giant marsh, swimming everywhere, and basically just laughing at me, come get me. Meanwhile, I have Quentin. And I'm trying to get him. And even I'm, treat, I'm doing the treat thing. Like I'm giving up. I'm doing the treat thing. And he's just laughing at me. And I got to watch Quinny because in our neighborhood, there's, you know, the streets are right there and Quinny's laughing and I'm part laughing and I'm part mad. I get him back. He's got mud everywhere. Hunter sees it, knows I'm mad, and I'm mad for about like, I'm like, Charlie's never coming here. We're done with this. And then by about a minute later, he's on my lap and I'm loving up again. So me, Mr. Disciplinarian of Charlie. Yep, me the insomniac. On all those days when he would stay at our place, and which room would he want to sleep with most of the time? Up in my room. And sometimes the boys would just keep him, totally understood it. But there would be times when I might have somebody over. I might be in a relationship with someone. I might not be in a relationship. Someone's over, and I'm kicking her out to go in the spare bedroom, and they might say, why is the dog staying? I go, because the dog always stays. And he would be snoring and snoring, and I'd put him down. And then he'd hop up on the bed, and I'd put him down. And then he'd hop on the bed the third time, and I'd just be fine. Just stay up here. Because he had me wrapped around his finger. I could act like I was going to be tough with him. I never was. And I would buy him toys, and Hunter would buy him toys, and Griff would buy him toys, and Quinny and Kathleen and other people in our lives, because it was impossible to be mad at Charlie. Only way you might be mad is because he just, would he come right away? Would he sit right away? Kind of slowly, a little bit. And he would bark and act like a tough guy, but he would melt. I mean, honestly, if there was a criminal, he would have opened the door for him. He would have said, here's where all the stuff is. Just give me a treat. And if you didn't like Charlie, you had to look deep in your soul. And Charlie was there for all the holidays. Whether it was for, in a long time, Kathleen and I would alternate Thanksgiving. And now we've stopped doing that because we get along so well, so we share Thanksgiving. And whether it was Christmas Eve, which he has, and Christmas I have, one of my favorite pictures recently, it's a couple of years ago where we all have different Santa hats for everybody in the family, and Charlie's sitting there in his spot on the couch. He always had a certain spot on the couch he sat, and I put my cap on him, and he fell asleep. And I can see that picture right now. And Kathleen had to move further away when Quentin had his double leg surgery. Didn't stop Charlie from coming to the house. It just made it a little more difficult. And it just made me go to Kathleen's house over and over and over again and then say, okay, I'm just going to bring him. And whether it was at my house or Kathleen's house, I knew if I was going to Kathleen's house, at some point, he would see me in the mirror and start barking and barking and barking because he wanted to see me. And even at the end, if you were a core person in our family, when his energy wasn't the same and when he was struggling, maybe didn't hear you right away because his hearing was not very good at the end. His vision wasn't very good at the end. But when he saw you, that small little tail of his would start wagging, he'd jump all over you. And Charlie had had his ACL replaced in two legs, and I paid for it. And I went to the vet basically one of the times and said, don't care costs, whatever. I'll pay it because I don't know what life's like without Charlie. And you can say that and you can mean it, and I did. But at some point, the arthritis is just so bad. and age is at a point where you don't want to operate on them again. And then of late, Charlie started falling more and getting confused and just really missing Kathleen. Like if Kathleen would leave, he just was so, as much as he loved us, it was, where's Kathleen? And we had these talks repeatedly about, is it time and dignity and respect? And it was one of the last visits to the vet where they said, it's almost like Charlie's at hospice now. And we, Kathleen and I, knew right away that we can't do this to him. And so Charlie's favorite place on the planet is out at my father's place on the river. And so it was Hunter's idea that we find a day when we can all be together, the core five of us, and we're going to take Charlie out to the river. And so yesterday was that day. And of course, despite the air quality, it was a perfect day, and Charlie can't go down the stairs. So we all would have carried him. But Hunter carried him up and Griff carried him down. And this poor dog who was losing his balance and wasn't moving with the same alacrity, as God is my witness, when Charlie was in the water, he was flying. He was, and we're, you know, the three older, you know, myself and Hunter and Griff were in there with him and making sure. But it was like he had his freedom back, and we stayed down there for, I don't know, hour and a half or so. And then we knew it was time to bring him upstairs, and Griffin, great idea, like Hunter had brought all these treats for Charlie. So Kathleen made him salmon and pork chops and all this amazing food, and we're just giving him treat after treat, like we would say to him, to bring him over. And Kathleen had found a vet, Tracy. And this wouldn't be the first dog that I've had to put down in that house. Yes, often my pets are named after golfers. This was Nicholas. My friend Amy Snyder put down Nikki. And we still have a statue of Nikki, and we're going to honor Charlie. And about 3:45 yesterday, Hunter, Griffin, Quinny, me and Kathleen said goodbye to Charlie. And I know there are a lot of people out there who say dogs aren't humans, and you're right. You're right. But, man, I love Charlie. And I am never, ever, ever going to forget him. Even the times he drove me nuts, and there weren't many, but maybe snoring when I'm an insomniac, when I need to have my room completely dark and kicking out my partners and Charlie Stain. He is essential to our family as anybody in our family. And when we had to take him to the doctor's car, in a stretcher, and Kathleen and I are carrying the stretcher. And everybody went in, and I just stared at that car going away, and I just stayed out there for like 10 minutes, just wanting time to reverse like 5 years. And to see Charlie come down that long driveway and just come back. And I sure hope Charlie's in a better place. And just going to Kathleen's today, and there was no Charlie at my new place, or there's no Charlie at her place. And I know so many of you listening have went through this. And my pain and my tears are no more or less than yours. I don't get it if you don't love pets. I don't get it if you met Charlie and didn't love him. And my life I cannot imagine any of the last 14 years without Charlie. And one of the last things I said to him, I go, I don't know what the next couple of days going to be like without you. And I'm the one who has his collar right now. And everybody wants it. Like, I do not want to give it back. I just want to keep it. But I know we got to share it. So that's my goodbye, at least for now, to Charlie. And I hope others, dogs that I lost, pets we lost, are waiting for Charlie and family members. So my sympathy to anybody who's lost a pet, whatever it might mean, whatever that animal means to you, because Charlie has meant the absolute world to me. We have an entirely packed commercial schedule today, because normally this is the time where I would say, I'm not going to do a commercial because this one's too tough. That's what we do at times, but business is good, so I'm going to talk about Stretch Lab. And I'm going to go there later today, and then Quentin's going to go there tomorrow with Nathan. And I hope other people who are listening to me right now are going to leave your pet, your turtle, your cat, your bearded dragon Mike has, named Guy. We had to separate Guy and Charlie because Charlie would have devoured Guy. Yes, Guy, the bearded dragon. We like pets at our house. You could do your downward-facing dog in honor of Charlie at your house. And you can do a lot of stretches. You can be in the Pilates. You can be in the flexibility. You still should want to go and see the trained specialist at Stretch Lab. You could be somebody just as some person lays on the couch, and your doctor, your significant other always tells you to stretch, and you don't want to do it. They'll do it for you at Stretch Lab. They have 25-minute sessions. They have 50-minute sessions, and they all love dogs, and they all love Charlie at Stretch Lab. Go to stretchlab.com. All right, I'm going to read some of your texts about our guy Charlie passing away. And I intentionally scheduled Susie for next half hour for us to yuck it up, and so I can compartmentalize this, because I'm supposed to go see music and hang out with friends tonight, and I canceled it because I don't want to go out tonight. I want to think about my boy. But just a lot of kindness coming in. Just a beautiful poem someone sent me. Among the texts, I'm so sorry, Chad. Heartbreaking time for all of you, Chad. Sending love and hugs your way. So sorry for your loss, your dog, Charlie. I'm a dog lover. I know what you're going through. Thanks for being vulnerable and willing to share this on air. Wishing you all the best, John Schuster. John Schuster is a very good human being, boys and girls. Do not forget that. So sorry for your loss, Chad. Chad, so very sorry to hear about Charlie. Dogs enrich your lives beyond measure, but it's so hard when we have to say goodbye. In a few days, read The Last Battles poem. I hope it brings you comfort. Chad, so sorry for your loss. My heartfelt sympathy to you and yours. Chad, this is one of the best love stories you've ever told. Rest in peace, Charlie. Chad, dogs are like God. They have unconditional love, and that's why the name dog, spelled God, backwards. Sorry for your loss. Well, Chad, extending our most sincere condolences to you and your family. It's so difficult. They've been through so much more than that. They are always friends, are always sweet. Springer's so hyperactive. Our beloved members of our family hold important, special memories for you. That was a beautiful goodbye to Charlie. Well done, Dog Dad. Thank you. So sorry, Chad, and family for loss. Rest in peace. Thank you, Chad, for sharing this time with Charlie. We understand your sadness. Be pleased with yourself, your family, with the love you shared. Love is the answer to issues in today's world. Thanks for sharing your love, Ginny. Sorry for your loss, Chad. I've been there a couple times. It's never easy. Number of people telling me they're crying. I appreciate that. So sorry, Chad. I've heard this. When I put my boxer down 4 years ago, a dog gives you one bad day in your life. That is correct. But, I mean, part of what made it so good, Lindsay, too, is to see him in the river. To give him that one last I mean, first of all, pork chops and salmon and all these treats that Griff brought. And, I mean, Hunter just with this brilliant idea and just seeing some of that energy back in him in the river.
You think he knew?
I don't. We had that debate yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't. And, like, he passed away so peacefully. He was so worn out, too, because he had been sleeping so much. But it was the right worn out. Just a long, long, long number of texts. Thank you so much. Okay, somebody's in here to lighten it up and have some fun. If you want to keep sending me texts, I will read them all, and I will appreciate it because all of us who love dogs have been there. All of us who love cats, I don't know, parakeet, whatever. Saying goodbye to somebody you love is not easy. And our family is never going to stop loving Charlie. That's for sure. The house we were at, where Charlie said goodbye, is insured by my friend Amber Scholl. You need to have comfort. You need to have confidence that if something bad happens, in a lot of your life you want to have that. But even with your home and your car, I guarantee you, I have a lot of people listening right now, and the kindness is overwhelming, by the way. But a lot of people who, whether it was Sunday night storm, Monday night storm, they're thinking, wait a second, did I have any damage to my house? Be smart who you have look at your house, okay? Because the goofy phone calls are already starting, right? But if you find out you do have legitimate damage, find a really good company. Maybe like Andy Linus. But then make sure you have the right home insurance. And I do because I work with Amber Scholl, Team Scholl, and she's with American Family. This isn't just Amber on her own. Okay, this is Amber. She's in some strip mall and she's trying to put things together. No, 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 no. American Family, rock solid, working with millions all across the country. TeamScholl.com, SCHOLL.com. The response since we've been talking about Amber and her team has been tremendous. From numerous condo owners to homeowners to people who own real estate apartment complexes, she can help with all of it, plus your car issues. Have somebody who's a good person like Amber is, and with a great company, American Family, TeamScholl.com. So I saw you today for the first time in what, 11 days, something like that?
Yeah.
It's been a while because you were on vacation. Then I was here Monday. You weren't back yet. Then I had this awful headache throat thing. Tested myself multiple times to make sure I didn't have COVID. And then the Twins game yesterday. So I'm seeing you for the first time. You went with the family. Is this up north? Is this the Park Rapids?
Yep.
Okay. So who was, because there were, last time we chatted, there was debate who was driving with who, and there was a lot of uncertainty about that and on the edge of fighting over that. Is that a fair description?
Yes. And it ended up that I drove up with Shannon,
okay,
Ben's girlfriend, Isaiah's mom,
yep,
and Isaiah.
Sounds great to me.
In her car, her mom let her use her SUV. So we loaded it up,
okay,
headed up.
Was your mom on the top of the car like Mitt Romney had the dogs on the top of his car? Where's your mom at this point?
No, Kay Jones went with my sister.
Okay.
And then we drove home because Ben came up Monday, so Shannon and Ben went back in that car.
I got it.
So, but it was 27 people.
27 people.
Six cabins at a place called the Royal Star Resort in Nevis.
In Nevis. Okay, I'm a big fan of Nevis.
Well, it was cute.
Okay, so is this where you always go in Nevis or no? Okay.
Mm-mm. We've never been to this resort because last year's resort sold.
Oh.
So we were in a jam.
What did you do?
I know.
I mean, knowing you, something happened.
We have been kicked out of resorts before, actually.
The family has.
Well, in a way, it's sort of like we want to have all of our cabins right next to each other in the front of the beach. That's like how we roll. Right?
Of course.
And we take over. And this particular...
What do you do, kick other people out?
No, but when you schedule for the following year, you say we want these and right here.
Yep.
And the next year, we called to make the appointment to do the next year. And she said, oh, you can have 18 and two. So she was trying to split us up, make our family be all over and not right in front of the beach.
Mm. Yeah.
And we said, I don't think she likes us.
Mm-hmm.
But this couple,
I got a feeling you might have said something stronger knowing you.
Eh.
Yeah.
My sister snuck and tried to get a reservation without telling her it was us, but I think she figured.
Well, when the names were on there. Okay, so Royal Star.
It was nice.
It was nice. Okay.
It was a good northern Minnesota, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Minnesota resort.
Yeah.
Knotty pine.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough beds.
Yep.
I mean, it's not fancy.
This is,
you know, 70s furniture, nice, you know, couches, but it's comfortable.
There's nothing wrong with
mm-mm.
it. Right?
We had a pontoon. We had 10 kids under 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a scene. She's choking.
Recoiling here.
As someone who spends a lot of time with a lot of kids, that's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids. And you know what? It's funny because, of course, Isaiah was there, and I wanted to spend
a lot of time. Isaiah's about
one.
I was going to say 15 months?
No, he's just 1 month and
okay.
July 1st. So,
okay.
But he's walking, and he's everywhere.
Woo.
And he's on the grass, and he's on the sand, and he's putting crap in his mouth, and he's trying to eat fish. I mean, it's just like, oh, my God. And Ben and Shannon, I think, thought I was the babysitter all week. You know, like, hey, we're going kayaking. Can you watch him? Oh, we're going into town. Can you watch him? And after a while, I was like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I need a vacation from this
vacation. So what was that? Was it an hour after they thought that? Was it a day after they thought that? How far into the process did you say, I'm tapping out? They shouldn't think you're going up there just to be the babysitter.
Nah, a lot of the cousins with kids now are like, hey, grandma time.
Isn't that what grandmas are for?
That's right. Yeah. And you feel really guilty. I do. When I'm like, okay, I am walking away. I'm going to sit over here on this side of the beach away from people and I'm going to read a book. And then I go, what are you doing? Don't read a book. This is your prime time with your family.
Yeah.
Put the damn book down. Anyway, but my sister Kathy, of course, she's in her book. She's listening to her iPods. She's playing, you know, on her phone. I'm like, why don't you participate? That's where we get into trouble.
Yeah. I think you're getting in trouble calling her out right here,
No, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
She calls me out a fair amount. Point being, how do you go to the cabin week? Do you go as a servant? A participant? Do you participate?
I think you do both, but you're also allowed to have some of your fun, right?
Right. Now, they had pickleball. Hysterical. We had a family tournament, so it would be a kid and a grown-up or someone who really stunk
Well, I hope
at
you
it.
Didn't get Isaiah. I mean,
he was on the court.
Yeah.
You know who else was on the court? God bless. I'm going to say this. She's going to be mad. But she knows I always do this. She's 94, Kay Jones.
Yeah.
And she played pickleball.
Yeah. Was she pretty good?
Oh, yeah. She, you know.
Okay. Did you win?
No, I stunk at pickleball. Yeah. But Kelly, my sister Kelly, who I love, and her partner, her wife, Gigi, they are so prepared. So it rained like four of the seven days. It was to drag, you know, because we are.
Wait a sec. They want you to babysit all the time, and it rained all the time.
Yeah, it rained.
How's this trip sound so far, Lindsay?
Kind of abysmal.
It sounds great, especially with a partnership like that. Leave it to the lesbians. Be prepared for all sorts of things.
Right?
Yeah.
So we had face painting, hair dyeing. Arts and crafts. I mean, we did tons of stuff inside.
Beer pong. Yeah.
But Kelly and Gigi created a game. You know the most amazing race on TV?
I do.
They and Carly, their daughter, created the amazing race for us. And they picked the team. So you had little people and big people.
Oh, that's good.
And you all had a different color bandana. And you had to, like, do a cartwheel on the beach, get in a boat, and go around the outer dock, a little kayak or whatever was there.
Yeah.
You had to stack 13 Oreo cookies on top of each other. I mean, the goofiest things in the world.
It worked.
It was a scream. We laughed so hard. I fell down trying to carry a kid. And then there was a volleyball court right next to the
kid
beach.
Kid broke his leg. Yeah. But we kept going.
We had a lot of fun.
Good.
I appreciate that.
Okay. All sweet. Let's get to some of the normal smut. Office romances. That's what we were talking about before.
Well, Jordana is like, have you ever had? I said, really? Like, how many have I had?
Okay, well, let's talk office romances. I want names of people.
Okay, I can
hear
that.
Here at WCCO Radio.
Oh, I was gonna say.
Office romances, hitchhiking, and a dating update. So that was the sweet part of Susie.
Okay.
Let's get to more of the salacious part when we come back. Susie Jones here, 651-461-9226. Hey, we can just hit the button this time. Okay, so what is the dating update for Susan K. Jones? At the start of the year, you declared one date a month.
Yep.
I said, I hope it doesn't happen because I hope you find somebody or I hope you're even busier. Okay, so we've had some doozies that we've talked about.
Some doozies.
The last one I remember was the guy who was talking about his body count, not once, not twice.
Three
times. But three times.
Trying to get me to bed.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
And did not work. Did you ever deal with this person
nope,
ever again?
He's in the wind.
Okay, so that was 3 weeks ago, a month
ago? Yeah.
Okay. Since that, have you had a date since?
No.
No.
However.
Yeah.
You're
close?
Well, possibly of having another, because I circle back. There were a couple guys that I had sort of thought were interesting, and the conversation sort of faded. And then I was out of town, so I kind of came back around and said, hey, what's going on?
Wait a second. Are these the guys you saw earlier?
No,
or,
brand new, but I liked them. They were interesting. New crop.
Yeah, new crop.
That had not been properly tended to.
Yes.
So then I came back around,
yeah,
and I re-said hello.
Yeah.
And once,
you wanted to water the crop a little bit to see maybe how they reacted.
Exactly.
Susie okay. Tending to her crops.
Yeah, okay. So,
one of the gentlemen, who looks like a interesting dude, reached out and said, hey, here's my phone number. Let's meet. So I will probably reach out. Yes, I will. And I'll text him and say, hey, thanks for your own phone number. And let's get together for coffee. I mean, that's all a numbers game.
Yeah. Do you give out your cell
phone? By nature of me texting them, then they're going to have my phone number.
Is this do you have the one cell phone? Do you have a burner phone?
That's a good idea.
For the honeys.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Just a singular.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Have you had any issues with that after you've cut somebody off?
No.
Okay, good. Good.
I did one thing. I don't know that I shared it with you. So there was a guy I liked from South St. Paul, right? Kind of hit it off.
Adam Carter?
Shoot. Anyway, long story short. I asked him point blank, I don't want to be text and I don't want to call. I just don't like to be. If the date is over and the next night you write, hey, how are you doing? What are you doing? Can we talk later? Like all that. That'll send me right up the tree.
Okay, so let me jump into this. Let's say it's you and South St. Paul guy.
Yeah.
And it's a great date.
It was a nice date.
Okay, but let's say hypothetically it's a great date.
Great.
Okay,
date.
Everything's good. There's chemistry. There's even a little kissing.
Oh, geez.
Right?
It's yourself, Sue.
And it's great. And you both know it's great because we've all had dates where you know it's great. Even then, don't reach out the next day and say, hey, that was great?
Yeah. I think
if the sparks are there.
Maybe you're still there 3 days later.
Oh, no, well, then there's no
texting.
That's what
I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's no.
I'm right there.
Yeah, right.
So, no, I mean, it's, you know what I mean? If you're into somebody, it's all good. If you're not really into somebody, but you don't hate them and they're not a bad person. So I reached back out to Saul St. Paul. I said, listen, I just want to let you know I feel a little bad. I haven't been very responsive. And it's just, I don't really understand all this. I'm still dating, so it's not like I'm going to be responding to, I don't want to have like a daily text conversation, blah, blah, blah. Nice guy wrote back. I understand. That's why they call it dating. Maybe we could get together sometime down the road. Perfect.
Yeah, right. So, okay.
That made me feel better.
Okay, that's good.
Because I don't like to if someone's nice, I don't want to just be a jerk.
No.
But if they're a jerk.
Body count guy doesn't deserve
it. Doesn't deserve
it. Okay.
Ghost him.
Office romance.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I met Kathleen. I'll give the quick...
Full disclosure.
The first 30-second story. I take the job to be a part of the Wolves organization, NDGY. Really didn't want to come back here because my father was doing things away, having success. Finally decided the Wolves job was too good. I pull into 611 Frontenac. Looks like a dump. I mean, I'm thinking, I had this interview with Mick. All he did was talk about himself.
Of course.
For 2 hours and 50 minutes, a three-hour meeting. I thought Lywicki was the smartest person I'd met. I still think Lywicki might be the smartest person I've met. Certainly in sports, he is. Tim's a brilliant person. And I sat there and I thought, well, and I literally, because I talk to myself. I have no problem talking to myself.
Me too.
I get out of the car. I said, well, this job's going to change my life. I grab my little satchel and I bump into this person. I bumped into Kathleen.
Wow.
You bumped into the mother of your children.
Yeah, I bumped
literally.
Into Yeah, exactly.
Just one day.
That's fantastic.
Right. So office romances. I think people swear them off. You're making a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? How about office hookups?
Well, see, that's the thing. That's a different category. So
correct.
If I go back to 1987.
Yeah.
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
There was...
That's your first year in La Crosse?
It's my first year in La Crosse.
Okay.
Vince the Prince Hamilton, you probably were down there.
1986. Winter of 89-90.
Yeah, I was
I'm
there.
In La Crosse.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knows?
Anyway.
Did we hook up?
No.
Oh.
I would have probably remembered that. Although, no, I was sober then, so. Yeah. There's a few on my list. I have no idea. Pretty sure something happened,
yeah.
But any U-Haul. Yeah, there was Mitch. Was an was he a director? And then a new reporter came who helped me learn how the business, David Bonfilio.
Oh, yeah.
We hooked up. No, we were. No, that was a romance.
That was romance.
Mitch was romance. And then the third one, guess who was that? Dave Verhassel, my husband.
Oh?
Ex-husband.
Yeah.
I'm being troubled.
Yeah.
His new wife doesn't like me very
boy.
Well.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway, yeah. And Jordan,
how about here? Ballpark here. Office. Have you had any dating? We've got a minute to go. Any dating with some regularity with somebody employed at CCO since you first arrived, what year?
96.
96.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say it wasn't dating. And I'm going to say I'm not telling you their name. And I'm telling you that they don't work here anymore.
Okay. But it wasn't dating. So it's hook. You're saying hookups.
Yeah.
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 Okay. And everything was smooth and okay with them.
Not working here anymore.
Not
so there's that.
Did you
actually,
get the person
some,
fired?
There was some. There were some exchanges in this building.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Next visit, you tell us. Well, God knows nothing gets cleaned here in this building, so it's possible we'll find out more. Very intriguing. That's good tease for your next visit.
Thank you.
We got to go. Now get ready for news.
Oh, my gosh. I have to run over to the other side of the room.
Susan K. Jones with the news. Next hour, CCO.